have been talking about the sugya of Chatzi Shir at the beginning of the last parak in Maseches Yuma. So just before we get into tonight's sugya, I always think it's interesting to talk about something that is connected to Chatzi Shir, but not directly. It is, but it's not. So we have a Gemara Maseches Makos, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, Darash Rav Simahi. Mai dechsiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Ohev kesef lo yisba kesef? The one who loves money will never have enough, will never be satiated by money. Now we know that to be the case. Today is the big Powerball, $700 million. We all know what that's all about. Says the Gemara, what is this referring to? Ohev kesef lo yisba kesef is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shahaya yodea that Moshe Rabbeinu knew she'ein shalosh arim shebe'ever hayarden koltos. He knew that the Ari Miklat that he designated in Ever HaYarden weren't going to go into effect until the whole Jewish people came to Eretz Yisrael, which he was not going to be a part of. And still, Va'amar mitzvah shabali yadi akemena. Even though I'm not going to be able to complete the whole mitzvah because I'm not going into Eretz Yisrael, I won't be able to designate all the cities, but I may as well do whatever I can. So he goes and he designates in Chutz Laaretz in Ever HaYarden whatever he was able to designate as a Ir Miklat. And the rest of the job he leaves up to someone else. So the Gemara says, why did he do this? What did he gain? He got nothing. It's not like he did a partial mitzvah. He did no mitzvah at all, because until all of them are designated, until the whole Eretz Yisrael is Nisyashva, you have nothing at all. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu gain? Says the Gemara, Oiv kesef lo yisba kesef. Moshe Rabbeinu had lots of money, so to speak. He had lots of mitzvahs, but that wasn't enough for him. He always felt he needed more. So whatever he can get, whatever part of a mitzvah he could get, he always tried his best. So you hear where I'm going. Chatzi Shir. Our Gemara talks about Chatzi Shir is Aser Min HaTorah. We assume the Gemara has a machlokas Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish. When a person eats less than the minimum Shir for an Isser, should we assume that you have violated an Isser in the Torah? Or should we assume no? Until you eat the Shir that the Torah said you have to eat, you have not violated anything. That's the machlokas in our Gemara. Reb Yochanan is of the opinion Chatzi Shir, Aser Min HaTorah. Even if you eat less than the Shir, you have violated what the Torah says you're not allowed to do. You might not be punished with Malkus, you might not get Kares, but you're going to be punished. You did something wrong. After all, says Rabbi Yochanan, if 0 + 0 = 0, if every little bit that you eat is nothing, so then how did you accumulate all that to become a Shir? It doesn't make sense. And the Halacha Lemaisa, the Rambam Paskins, and the Shulchan Aruch and Yerodea Paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, he makes a lot of sense. Chatzi Shir Aser Min HaTorah. So does that work for mitzvahs as well? For example, the Achronim discuss a very important case. What if a person, it's something that for us is considered to be unusual because it would never happen in America given our conditions that we live in today. But the Mishnah Lemelech has the following suffix. What if a person comes to Pesach and you don't have a shir shalem of matzah? So let's say you take the case in the concentration camp. Somebody was mosu nefesh to make one matzah and now they're giving out a tiny little crumb of matzah to everyone. Okay, so it's very nice. It's very nice, and we're not taking away from what they did, but did they gain anything? Was it worth being Moshe Nefesh to be caught that maybe they're going to catch me eating this matzah if I didn't even perform the mitzvah? After all, I'm not eating kazayas, I'm not eating kibbetz, I have nothing. So is it worth having a little crumb of matzah on Pesach when I'm certainly not going to eat the shir, but maybe I'll get something? Maybe it's a chatzi shir. Do we say the same way Chatzi Shir Asim and HaTorah, the same way in the opposite direction? If you eat less than the Shir, you have violated the Torah principle. Maybe we should say it in this direction as well. As long as you ate a little bit of matzah, even if you didn't eat the complete Shir, maybe we should say you've at least fulfilled something. That's the suffix of the Mishnah Melech that he has. And he says that it came up on Pesach. Now the Oneg Yontif, much later than the Mishnah Melech, the Oneg Yontif has a very similar suffix. And he says, let's say you have a father who has a mitzvah of pidyon haben on his son. Problem is, the father doesn't have any money. All he has is one nickel. Now that's not enough. You know, you need a couple of $100 in order to do pidyon haben. I don't know what exactly the amount is, the equivalent of the 5 shlomim today, whatever that amount is in silver, is what it costs today. Let's say it's $100, I don't know. So all I have is 5 cents or $5. What should I do? Says the Oneg Yontif, should I do a chatzi shir of the mitzvah of pidyon haben? Should I give a coin $5 and tell him, look, this is all I have right now. By the time my son becomes an adult, maybe I'll get some more money, maybe I'll figure it out and I'll pay it out, but maybe it's worth trying today on the Yom Lamed Aleph, the day that I'm supposed to do the Pidyon HaBen, give him whatever you have, and if you figure it out later how to fill in the rest of the money, maybe it works. If not, forget it. Ask the Oneg Yontif, would you say Chatzi Shir, the same way that it's Aser Min HaTorah, the same way that it accumulates to become a Shir, and we say that every little bit is Aser also, maybe you should say over here as well, every little bit of the mitzvah is already considered to be the mitzvah. After all, don't we see by Moshe Rabbeinu? What does he do? He's on Ever HaYarden. He starts designating the cities for Ari Miklat. He didn't really perform the mitzvah because he couldn't finish it. Maybe he gets some credit. Maybe that's called partial mitzvah and partial credit. Or do you say, no, unless you do the whole mitzvah, you have nothing. So this is the suffix that the Achronim have. And I find this to be a very fascinating suffix. So they want to bring a raya from the Psak and Shulchan Aruch. Listen to the Psak and Shulchan Aruch again. Another unusual case, but if you take it in the abstract, it's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tav Pei Hei, someone who is nishba shelo lechol matzah kol hashana. Somebody takes a shvuah. You have all kinds of people that take shvuahs, strange things. My father just told me yesterday, I went up yesterday to learn with my father in the mountains for the day. So my father told me yesterday that there was someone in a community who called him up, that he was so angry at the rabbi. They hired a new rabbi, and the rabbi didn't like him, he didn't like him. I don't know exactly what the reason was, but he took a nether upon himself that he's never giving stucca to the shul again, to the shul pushkin, never giving stucca because he's protesting the rabbi that they hired. He's angry. So that's what he was doing. And he continued with this nether, and he never gave stucca. Then he said after a couple of months, he felt very uncomfortable because every time they went around with the pushka, he was the only one in the shul that was ignoring the gabbai stucca every single day. So he came to my father, he wanted to be matur nether. So my father asked him, had you known at the time that you took the nether, do you have any charata for what you did? Do you feel bad? He said, absolutely not. I still think I'm right. I still hate the rabbi, and I still wouldn't give tzedakah to the shul. So my father said, well, you did yourself in. Then there's no Pesach, there's no charata, there's nothing to do. You feel that you did it because you hate the rabbi. You still hate the rabbi. You wouldn't have done it any differently if you started today. So then you can't be matur nether for such a person. So the guy is stuck a little bit. Anyway, interesting story. My point to the story is that you have all kinds of people who make all kinds of nedarim and all kinds of shvuas, and you never know what pushes them to make such a shvua. So the Shulchan Aruch says, for whatever reason, someone takes a shvua upon themselves, maybe it's for dietary reasons, for whatever, I'm not going to eat matzah kol hashana kula. I'm not going to eat matzah at all during the year. So what does he do Pesach? He didn't think about that. Very nice to take a nether upon yourself that you shouldn't gain weight by eating matzah, but what about the fact that you're going to have once a year the opportunity that you have to eat matzah? So says the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to eat matzah even on Lel Pesach. Not allowed to eat matzah even on the night of the Seder. Why? Because you took a shvuah upon yourself, and the shvuah is chal. So the shvuah is chal. Ask the Achronim, why do you say that the person is not allowed to eat matzah on Lel HaSeder? I have a good answer for him. Why don't you tell him that he should eat a chatz yishir of matzah? Why? What would that get you? Because if you say that chatz yishir is already considered a partial mitzvah, at least you have the partial mitzvah. What's the rule? If a person takes upon themselves a shvuah, I'm not going to eat potato chips. How much potato chips is asur to me? Only a kezayis. Because that's called an achila. I say, shvuah shelo ochal potato chips. I promise I'm not going to eat potato chips for the rest of the year. Right? How much am I not allowed to eat? It means you're not allowed to eat a kezayis. So say the achronim. Why does the Shulchan Aruch say, a person who takes a nether upon himself, a shvuah upon himself, I'm not going to eat any matzah for the entire year, Shulchan Aruch writes, you're not even allowed to eat matzah on the Leil HaSeder. Why not? We have a good answer for you. Eat less than a kezayis of matzah on the Leil HaSeder. You won't get the full credit for the mitzvah, but you'll get something. Why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch say she did a chatz yishir? It must be. There's no such thing as a chatz yishir by a mitzvah. It doesn't work in that direction. If you don't have the shir, you have nothing. That's what some Acharonim want to argue. Other Acharonim find that very troubling. That's not really a good proof, because after all, although it's true that you are not going to get malchus for violating a shvuah until you eat the shir. If I say I'm not going to eat potato chips the whole year, it means we're only going to give you malchus if you eat a kezayis of potato chips, but it's usher for you to eat even less than that. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it. It's usher, but you don't get malchus. So it's the same halacha. What?
Chatzis shir works both ways.
Chatzis shir works, exactly. Chatzis shir means you're going to be usher to eat it, mitam the shvuah, you won't get malchus, and therefore, since that's the case, you can't even eat the chatzis shir on Pesach either. So they're madcha that raya, they think it's not a good raya. The bottom line, many prominent achronim are of the opinion that there's no such thing as a chatzis shir by a mitzvah. When the Torah says you have to eat matzah, it means you need a kezayis and matzah. If you don't have a kezayis, you have nothing at all. That's the opinion of the Mishnah Melech, that's the opinion of the Minchas Chinuch, that's the opinion of the Ksav Sofer, and many other achronim who assume that this is the case. The Chida has in a number of places, both in his Tshuva Sefer as well as in his Sefer Birkei Yosef, he writes, no, I think there's room to argue that maybe even if you eat a chatz yishir of matzah, that should be counted as well. And he thinks that you'll get some credit. Shesvara alimtahi, he says, I have a good reason to argue why I think it should work. Sharei mida tova meruba mimida paranias. We know that Hashem always pays a person back much more for doing a good deed than the amount you're going to be punished for doing something bad. If God's going to punish you for eating a chatz yishir of something that's usur, then for sure he's going to give you credit for eating a chatz yishir of something that's mutter, of eating something that's a mitzvah. So says the Chida, It would make sense that if a chatzi shir asim in a Torah for something that's not allowed to be eaten, certainly a chatzi shir is going to be something that we would encourage you to eat when that's all you have to perform a mitzvah. So this is a fascinating discussion. The Shagasari has it as well. He takes it so far as to say, if the person only has a chatzi zayis and matzah, maybe she'd even make a bracha on the chatzi zayis, because you're doing your best. You're doing your best. I'm trying to do the mitzvah. So he goes so far again. It's a big stretch. There is a group of achronim that say, I see Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlau has a commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs on the Bahag. So Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlau is of the opinion that all this is a mistake. The whole discussion is a mistake. Chatzishir is good, it's bad. Do we say Chatzishir the same way by Isser as we say by Heter? Says Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlau, I think the whole thing is a mistake. He says, I would say if a person only has a Chatzishir of matzah, they should not eat it. Nothing to do with whether or not you fulfill a mitzvah. He says it's Baal Tigra. How can you eat it? How can you get involved in the Shaila? If you perform a mitzvah not the perfect way that you're supposed to do it, the Gemara tells us, based on a pasuk, that you violate the Yisra of Baal Tigra. So he says, I would suggest, from a totally different angle, that you shouldn't perform a mitzvah. Now that's also a very problematic statement, because is that really what Baal Tigra means? Every time you do something not exactly the way the Torah said to do it, you're already in violation of Baal Tigra. Okay, it's a fascinating question. Anyway, I always found this whole sugya to be very, very interesting. When you learn the Gemara about Chatzi Shir being Usur, and on Yom Kippur you're not allowed to eat less than the Shir, how do we transfer that into the Halach in the opposite direction with regard to performing a mitzvah? Like we said, the Oneg Yom Tov has the suffix by Pidin HaBen, I only have $5, but it's not enough to be poured to my son, maybe I should do it anyway. Or, when it comes to the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah or something else, would you say a person should try to get partial credit, or perhaps it's not even worth it? When we talk in general in our sugya about Chatzi Shir Usur Min HaTorah, which is the Psak, that's the way Rabbi Yochanan paskins, and that's the way the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch hold, Lahalacha as well. What exactly do we mean, Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah? Now this is a very important question that one needs to think about whenever we discuss this issue, and that is, when we say Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah, does that mean there's one generic Isser called Chatzi Shir, right? So if I was making a minyan on mitzvahs, I was making 613 mitzvahs, what would the 613 mitzvahs be? Well, one mitzvah would be, one Isser would be you're not allowed to eat treif of food. One Isser would be you're not allowed to eat something that wasn't shechted properly. One would be you're not allowed to eat chelev, you're not allowed to eat dam. Right? Those would be all the Isserim. Included in that is you're not allowed to eat not only a kezayis of dam, but you're also not allowed to eat a chatzizayis of dam. Like the svara of Rabbi Yochanan that if 0 plus 0 equals 0, then how can you ever come to a shir? So therefore, included in that Isser of not eating chalev or not eating dam is, not only are you not allowed to eat a kezayis of chalev, you're not even allowed to eat a little bit of chalev. That's the Isser Chatzi Shir. It's just an extension of the Isser of chalev. That's what we call an Isser Prati. Right? So if a person eats a Chatzi Shir, let me ask you this question. Person who eats a half a shir of chalev, which you're not allowed to eat, part of the animal you're not allowed to eat. Person who eats a half a shir of chalev, what would you say, which Isser have I violated? Which Isser have I violated? Did I violate the Isser of Chelev because I had a Chatzi Shir of Chelev? Or did I violate a totally separate Isser? Maybe the 612 mitzvahs, and that includes all the mitzvahs that we know of, and the 613th is Chatzi Shir. It's a separate category. Like, don't speak Lashon Hara, don't eat Chelev, don't eat a Chatzi Shir of anything that I said. And if you eat a Chatzi Shir, let's say here I have a piece of Chelev, I only eat half the piece of Chelev, what have I violated? Maybe I didn't violate Chelev, I violated, like the Yisr Lashon Hara, I violated Chatzi Shir, has nothing to do with Chelev at all.
Where is this such an Isr in the
Gemara? Oh, so that's the question. Where do we have such an Isr? So that's what we're going to see in our Gemara, if we ever open the Gemara. We're going to get there to see, the Gemara actually learns it from Makoros, from Sukkim, that we know Chatzi Shir Asim in the Torah. It's actually from Kol Chelev. It says, it doesn't just say you're not allowed to eat Chelev, it says Kol Chelev. What do you mean Kol Chelev? You're not allowed to eat any Chelev? The answer is, you're not even allowed to eat a little bit of Chelev. That's what the Gemara says. That's the question. That's the question. Would you say that if I eat a half a shear of chalev, it's as if I've eaten a piece of chalev, and therefore I'm going to get malchus for eating chalev? Or do you say, no, if I eat a chatzi shear, that's not the isser of chalev. That's something else. That's mitzvah number 613, which is, you're not allowed to eat a chatzi shear of anything that's not permissible to eat. Totally unrelated. In the Lamda Shesvarim, they call this, is it called an isser prati? Or is it an isser klali? Is Chatzi Shir something that's just a big umbrella Isser that applies equally to everything? And if I violate it, it just falls under the umbrella of Chatzi Shir? Or do you say, no, Chatzi Shir is an Isser Prati, and it depends what I ate. If I ate a half a piece of chalev, I'm going to violate the Isra of chalev. If I ate a half of a cup of dam, I violate the Isra of dam. It depends on what you ate. That's going to be dependent on what you have violated. Yeah.
So then the severity of any of the Isra that you're doing in Chatzis Shur in that case would all come after the same. There's no difference.
Exactly. So hold on to that question for a second. Let me flesh out your question for a minute.
But you would need a mitzvah to stay, too.
What do you mean?
The Moshe to do the three...
In the other direction.
So he needs a mitzvah, you need a... Uh-huh. A Chatzis Shur and an Asay.
Good question. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but Kazayas has to be a Talacha to have a Chatzis Shur, a Talacha to have a Kazayas.
Halacha to have a Chatzis Shur, halacha to have a Kazayas. Okay.
What is there?
Oh, you're saying in the other direction, by the mitzvah say. That's the question that the Acharonim are trying to figure out. Now, they don't have a pasuk that would indicate that. Their only indication is maybe from Moshe Rabbeinu, but maybe the story about Moshe Rabbeinu, it seems from the simple understanding of the Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu just loved doing mitzvahs, and he was just such a wonderful person that he did it even if he didn't get credit for it. Right? That was Moshe Rabbeinu. But it doesn't mean that you learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu to be halacha lemaisa. That's the question. So here, let's take your question, Moshe. Let's flesh it out a little bit. The Gemara is going to say in Maseches Yuma, in another couple of daf Pei Gimel, the Gemara is going to say, what happens when you have a chola on Yom Kippur? So we're told that a chola has to eat, I'm sorry, forget about Yom Kippur. Let's say you have a chola in general. Now the doctor generally prescribes medication for the chola. Back in the times of the Gemara, they didn't have sophisticated medicine like we had today. So they had different forms of medication. So what did they do? Let's say somebody was sick with pneumonia, and the doctor said, okay, the best way to treat the pneumonia is if you're going to eat this insect. Whatever. The doctor says you have to eat this piece of meat, that's going to make you better. Whatever, that's what the doctors thought at the time. So you're going to, I don't know, the Gemara doesn't say exactly what the illness was, but there were times that the Gemara says the doctor prescribed the patient to eat a certain kind of food. Not always did the doctor say to eat a kosher food, because sometimes that wasn't going to help the patient. So what happens when you have a chola, mamish pikuach nefesh, and without this food, the chola is not going to get better, and the chola is going to die. So what do? Says the Gemara, obviously you give the chola to eat even something that's machalas asuras. If the doctor comes along and he says, you should eat basa b'chalav, we give you basa b'chalav. If the doctor says to eat something else that's not kosher, we give you something else that's not kosher. However, says the Gemara, if the doctor gives, let's say, two choices, he says, look, we have two options of medications we can use. Either we can use basa b'chalav, or we can use non-shechted meat. Either one of those two is going to do the trick for this person. So the Gemara says we have a concept called hakal hakal tchila. We have to evaluate. Again, obviously, if this whole calculation is going to take away time and the chola's life is going to be in danger, we don't try to make a calculation. But let's say we have a couple of minutes. We're trying to figure out, should we feed him this maichel, which is usser, this item of food which is not permissible to be eaten, or should we feed you that? I would have said, what's the difference? You're a chola, you have a heter pikuach nevesh, do whatever you want, doesn't make a difference. Says the Gemara, no. You're a chola, and you're allowed to eat mishum pikuach nefesh. However, that has to be done very carefully. You have to evaluate. Is this iser more chamer than that iser? If the doctor gives two choices of food items that you can eat in order to get better, we have to really make a calculation to figure out, should we be giving you X because it's more chamer, or should we be giving you Y because it's less chamer? That's really what the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time in Daf Pei Gimel trying to figure out this versus that. Tevel versus Chulin versus Hekdish versus this versus that, what's considered more chamer and less chamer? Very interesting sugya, how you put everything together. So now, that's very nice. What if the doctor prescribes a chatzis shir of one of these isurim? Okay, the doctor says, this patient, I'm telling you, it's going to do the trick. All he needs is less than a kazayas of treif of meat. So you have an option. I can either give this treif of food or that treif of food. Once we're dealing only with the chatzis shir, do I have to start figuring out, well, it depends, is this more chamer, is that more chamer, is this something that we care more about, less about, maybe this is a chiv karis, maybe that's only misi b'dei shamayim, you're going to have to start evaluating which one is more or less chamer, or do you say no, after all it's just the chatzis shir, it doesn't make a difference.
That's back to your chakiri, is it a 613 mitzvah
bas? Oh, so here's a nafkamina, here's where it would make a difference. When you have a chola who has a heter to eat something which is not normally permissible to eat, but all he has to eat is a chatzis shir. So do you have to start making a calculation for that or not? Well, it depends. If chatzis shir is an iser prati, and it means every time I eat less than the shir, it's as if I violated the iser itself, you have to make the same calculation here as you would make anywhere else. If chatzis shir is what we call an iser klali, it's just mitzvah number 613, that has nothing at all to do, it's like Lashon Hara. It has nothing at all to do with chalev, nothing to do with dam, nothing to do with tevel, nothing to do with anything. So then I say, once I'm only talking about a chatzis shir, eat whatever you want. Doesn't make a difference. All this is just put under the umbrella of mitzvah 613, which is not eating a chatzis shir, is nothing to worry about at all. Eat whatever you want, and you don't have to start making a calculation.
Why not? It's still allowed. 613 is allowed. It's allowed. It may not be karis, but it's allowed.
It's true, but it's allowed. But it does. So it's true. You're eating something which is not permissible. But do you have to sit and worry about whether this is whether eating a chatzis shir of tevel is going to be more chamer than eating a chatzis shir of kachim, or eating a chatzis shir of nevelo or of basar b'chalav? What's the difference? After all, I'm just eating chatzis shir. No. When the doctor tells you you have to eat a whole plate, a whole steak, so then you have to figure out which steak is more chamer, which steak is less chamer. But when the doctor's only prescribing you one little piece of meat that's less than a shear, so that will make a difference for this question.
So what you're saying is that this Hasi Shia 613 is really not a lav. Think about
it is a lav.
It is a lav, but it's a lav that's not connected. That's what I keep saying. It's like Lashon Hara. It has nothing to do at all with Chelev and Dam and Nevela and Treif and nothing else. It has nothing to do at all with anything. You find this strange?
Yeah.
Strange. Okay, let me give another example.
So what if you have a half a shear of
Chazer? Yeah.
Or a full shear of something else. Let's say you're a Yom Kippur case.
Yeah.
Chazer shear of Chazer, it's nothing. Or a full Kazayah.
Why is a Chazer shear of Chazer nothing? That's Chazer shear of Asamina Torah.
Yeah.
Chatzis shir asa min haTorah. That's the way we paskin.
How would a birya fit into that? In other words, if I'm not eating a kazayas, but I'm eating a birya, so therefore it's usher anyway.
Mm-hmm. So I don't remember offhand. I think the Gemara talks about a birya in the context daf pegimel. We'll get there. We have time. We have time still before Yom Kippur. All right. So let me talk out another nafkamina. For example, the Beis Yosef has an interesting halacha, and that is an ilchas tainus. Nothing to do with Yom Kippur. The Beis Yosef quotes the Ma'arik, the Misha Eina Masana, somebody who is not fasting because they're a chola, whatever happened, they're not well. Lo yala la Torah, you should not get an aliyah on the fast day. Okay, that's what the Beis Yosef quotes in the Ma'arik. Someone who doesn't fast shouldn't be getting the aliyah on the public fast day. Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger has a suffix, what exactly does that mean? When should I not get an aliyah? What would you say? It means by Shachris or by Mincha? Why? What's the difference between Shachris and Mincha? Huh? Let's say I already broke my fast early in the morning. I ate breakfast right away. What?
Before Shacharis.
Let's say I had a coffee in the morning. I'm very weak, and I eat right away. So look, Rabbi Kiva Eger has a suffix. Nistapakti. That's number base. Nistapakti ve'uvdehabi. He says I had a shaila, and it actually took place. B'mishayim mutal al eres devai b'sakanas mavis. There was somebody on his deathbed. V'harofit tziva lo lechol b'yom kippurim. And the doctor told him you absolutely have to eat on Yom Kippur. So he made a minyan for him in the house. He couldn't go out of the house. The karos ala Torah. So he wanted to be mechazik him. After all, it's Yom Kippur. Let's give him an aliyah. V'lo nistapakti bazeh. And he says, I have no suffix. V'tzivisiv lalos. Rabbi Kiva Eger said, I let him take the aliyah. What do you mean you let him take the aliyah? Don't you know Rabbi Kiva Eger? The Beis Yosef says not allowed to. So what does he mean? Ki bipshuto, he says, Hakriya b'yom kippurim, the kriya satorah that we have on Yom Kippur in the morning, is machmas kedusha sayom. One can answer. One can wonder. We have two kriya satorah on Yom Kippur. Why do we lay on Yom Kippur? Do we lay because today is a fast day, or do we lay because today is like Shabbos? Because today is like a Yom Kaddish, it's like Yom Tov.
So
says Rabbi Baker. Shachris, what laning do we do? We do the fancy laning of what? Shachris we lay in for the Kedushas Hayom. We talk about Yom Kippur. Right? And then Maftir by Shachris, we talk about Yom Kippur. We read that Kriya from Parshas Amora. I don't remember which one is it. One of them. Either Re'eh, Amora, I forgot which one you lay in, but on Yom Kippur in the morning, you lay in the Maftir, you talk about Kedushas Hayom. So he says, Ki b'pshuto, it's obvious to me that the Kriyas HaTorah in the morning of Yom Kippur is Machmas Kedushas Hayom, Kimo b'shar Yom Tov Shabbos. Fine. Vim Kain, and therefore, Gam Misha Eino Misane, even if you're not fasting, Yachalalos, you can take the Aliyah. Why? Because just because you're not fasting, is it not Yom Kippur for you? Of course it's Yom Kippur. Are we going to tell you you're allowed to have Tashma Shamita, you're allowed to wear leather shoes, you're allowed to do everything just because you're not fasting? Of course not. It's still Yom Kippur, you just happen not to be fasting. The Kedusha Sayom applies to you, so therefore we say you can take the Aliyah by Shachris. He says, how you wrote him likroso so gam mincha. Now they wanted to give him an aliyah. They said it did such a good job to him. You know, he took the Aliyah Shachris, he felt so much chizik that we gave him an Aliyah, why don't we give him an Aliyah by Mincha also? Ah, here says Rabbi Akiva Eger, not so simple. Vazen is tapakti. Now I'm not so sure. By Shachris, I was convinced the Shachris laning is because of Kedusha Sayom. So he has the same Kedusha Sayom as everybody else, he's able to take the Aliyah. But by Mincha, he says, I'm not sure if Kriyas HaTorah b'Mincha Havi Mishum Tainis. Do we lane by Mincha because it's a fast day? Elo de Bishar Taniyas Karim Vayachal, just by a regular Mincha V'Tainis we lane by Yachal. And here, for some reason, we lane Parshas HaRais. We have an explanation why. V'im Kain, and therefore, Eina Misana, Eina Yachalalos. Therefore, somebody who's not fasting maybe shouldn't take an Aliyah by Mincha, because maybe the Mincha laning is not because of the Kedusha Sayom of Yom Kippur, but rather because it's a fast day. There are two elements to Yom Kippur. One is the Kedusha Sayom, like Shabbos and Yom Tiv, and one is the fact that it's a public fast day. So why are we laning? Are we laning because of the Kedusha Sayom, or are we laning because public fast day? He says, or maybe we should say not. And he says, Sarachi in the Dina. He ends off, I'm not exactly sure how to really make sense out of this. I don't know why we lane by Mincha on Yom Kippur. What exactly is that about? Is it because Yom Kippur is a Yom Kaddush, or is it because we assume that Yom Kippur is a Yom Tainis, and since it's a public fast day, therefore, it makes sense that we should all be fasting. That's Rabbi Akiva Eger's suffix. Very interesting suffix. The Mar Cheshes, who was a tremendous Gaon, I think Rav Soloveitchik said he met him a number of times, he corresponded with him. The Mar Cheshes quotes the suffix of Rabbi Akiva Eger, I think. Haven't seen it in a while, but the Mar Cheshes wants to say that this is based on, this can really be a Machlokes, the Mechaber, and the Ramah. Why? Because in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Yom Kippur, listen to the Shulchan Aruch, I forgot to put it on here. Shulchan Aruch says, Motziin Sefer Torah, you take out a Sefer Torah, V'korin Shalosh B'parshos Arayas Hatzof HaParsha. You lane three aliyahs. Then the third one does Maftir Yonah. Mi'al Kamocha U'mavarech Lefanei L'Acharei. You make a bracha before the Haftarah and after the Haftarah. We know that that's what we do by Mincha, and that's when everyone falls asleep. Correct? Besides the person who lanes. V'imchal B'Shabbos, the Mechaber forgot to leave out the most important part. V'imchal B'Shabbos, what if it falls out on Shabbos, Yom Kippur on Shabbos like this year? Mazkir Brashal Shabbos, obviously in the Birchas Haftarah you have to mention Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Okay, fine. Now says the Ramah, hey, you left something out here. What do you mean, what did I leave out? The Mechaber tells us all the rules. By Mincha, you give three aliyahs, the third one is a Maftir, and after the Maftir is over, you lay in Maftir Yonah. You lay in the Haftarah. You say a bracha, bifanea ula acharea. You make a birchas Haftarah like you would on any other Shabbos, and that's it. Says the Ramah, hey, you left out a very important point, and that is, ein omrim ala Torah v'ala avodah b'mincha. You don't say that paragraph, ala Torah v'ala avodah v'al yom chag, yom ha-kippur mazeh, whatever you say. We don't say that by mincha. Says the Ramah, why didn't the Mechaber tell us that? Mechaber just says, blanket statement. You say all the Birchas HaFtarah like you would normally say. That's what you do by Mincha. Says the Ramah, what are you talking about? No, you don't. You leave out those, that last paragraph, which is, Ala Torah v'ala avodah v'al yom chag yom ha-kippur mazeh, whatever you say. By Shachris, you don't say that by Mincha. Says the Mar Cheshes, what are they arguing about? They're arguing about, is the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha because it's Yom Tif? And if it's a Yom Tov Kriyas HaTorah, then we should be saying Ala Torah Val Avodah Val Yom HaKippur Mazeh, because it's Yom Tov. We should highlight the fact that it's Yom Tov. And the Ramah says, no, that's all a mistake. This Kriyas HaTorah has nothing to do with Yom Tov. This Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha is only because it's a Tainus. And the same way by a regular fast day on Shavuot B'Tammuz, we don't say Ala Torah Val Avodah, because there's no Kedusha Sayom. So too by Mincha on Yom Kippur, we also leave out Ala Torah Val Avodah. Because the reason why we're laning now by Mincha has nothing to do with the Kedusha Sayom, but rather because today is a Yom Tainus.
But either way, you still have the Kedusha Sayom inherent in the day by Yom Kippur.
Correct. But that's not what's Mechayiv me in this Kriyas HaTorah. So since that's not what's Mechayiv me in this Kriyas HaTorah, therefore, the Ramah says we leave it out. That's Minig Ashkenaz to leave that out. That's the way the Mar Cheshes, I think it's brilliant how he extracted from that to try to understand what exactly the Kriyas HaTorah is all about. Now, what happens if a person eats a chatzis shir on Yom Kippur? Chatzis shir on a public fast day. Would you say he's allowed to take the aliyah or not? Mincha, let's say, right? Whatever. Let's say we know Kriyas HaTorah of a public fast, Shavuot B'Tammuz. There is no Kedusha Sayom. You're only laning today because of Shavuot B'Tammuz. Tisha B'Av.
No. So the Ramah would say no.
Everyone would say.
What would he say?
Everyone would say no. Tisha B'Av.
Why?
Because it's all based on the fest.
So listen. What if I eat a chatzi shir on Tisha B'Av? Am I allowed to take an aliyah or not? Well, that depends. Did I violate Tisha B'Av? Or did I violate Mitzvah 613 of chatzi shir that has nothing to do with Tisha B'Av? Interesting question. Right? It's the same issue. Do we look at this issue of chatzi shir in our Gemara as an isser klali that has nothing at all to do, it's not connected at all to chelev and dam and eating on Tisha B'Av and all these things? Or do you say, no, of course it's connected. When the Torah said you're not allowed to eat chelev, when the Chacham said you're not allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av, that included you're not allowed to eat a chatzi shir either. You're not allowed to eat a chatzi shir of chelev, not a chatzi shir of dam, not a chatzi shir on Tisha B'Av. That's all included in the original takana or the original mitzvah. If that's the case, someone who eats a chatzi shir is disqualified already from having an aliyah, which makes an afkamina. Let's say you have somebody, sometimes in the morning you have people who take a little drink, and then they remind themselves that it was a tinus, right? So they drink less than the shir. They don't drink a whole revius on it, right? They don't drink a whole whatever it is, whatever the shir is for a tinus, they don't drink so much. Then they come to shul, they want to know, can I be the one to get the aliyah? Well, the answer is, that's dependent on this. If a person actually drank a chatzi shir, which happens all the time, on a tinus, a person drinks a chatzi shir, by mistake, you get up in the morning, you drink some cold water, then you realize you spit some of it out, but some of it goes down, should we assume that you're already disqualified? Obviously, you have to keep on fasting, but should we say that you have already violated chatzi shir and therefore we say you're out? You're considered like an ena misana, or do we say, no, chatzi shir, so you violated something else. Nothing to do with the tinus. Take for another example. Rashi writes in Parsha Shlach, famous Rashi number Gimel, Rashi tells us as follows. My father told me once also, I see it here, my father told me also once from Rav Soloveitchik that he said in the name of his father that he thought, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, he thought this would also make a difference. Let's say Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. What is the reason why we daven Ne'ilah? Daven Ne'ilah because it's a public fast day. Because we're fasting. It's a day of Ribui Tefillah, not because of Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur. We daven Ne'ilah because it's a public fast day. So he said that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was discussing the issue, what if you have a cholo who eats pachas mikashir? Let's say he eats every 9 minutes on Yom Kippur just to get him going through the day. Would you assume, so that's a chatzi shir, would you assume that that person, obviously they ate beheter, they were allowed to eat, but would you assume that that person is obligated to daven ne'ilah or not? Have you actually fasted or not? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said that also depends on this. Do you say that that's a chatzi shir and therefore a chatzi shir is as if you've eaten already on Yom Kippur, so therefore it's not a Yom Tainus for you, and therefore we should say that Ne'ilah wouldn't be applicable to you, or do you say not? Interesting question. A real shear. That's what I was wondering. I don't know. That's why I didn't want to mention it at first, because I don't know the halacha about that. It sounds strange to me. I don't remember ever telling somebody who ate on Yom Kippur, don't daven Ne'ilah. So that's why I want to look into that again. Maybe I'm totally wrong. I don't know. But I remember my father told me that from Rav Soloveitchik in the name of his father, that he thought that also tied into this somehow. So let's say, take for example, this question comes up not only here, it comes up, let's say, by Lifnei Iver. So we have an Isser that not only am I not allowed to violate an Isser, I'm not allowed to set up somebody else to violate an Avera either. So take for example the Rishonim discuss. There are three Averas in the Torah that are Yaharik Val Yavar, Avodah Zarah, Gilei Ra'is, and Shvichas Damin. Somebody comes to me and says, go and kill that person or I'm going to kill you. The answer is, I have to allow myself to be killed. I can't go ahead and violate Shvichas Damin. What if somebody comes to me and says, I want you to do Lifnei Iver on Shvichas Damin. I want you to go force your friend to kill somebody else. So do I have to give up my life? I have to give up my life if he says, I want you to kill someone via dime with your own hands. What if he says, no, I would never ask you to kill. I know, come on, a big tzaddik, you would never do that. I'm asking you to go get somebody else to kill someone else. So I'm violating Lifnei Iver. I'm setting you up to do something wrong. Right?
Lifnei Iver is not Yaharik Val
Yavar. Oh, so Lifnei Iver is just Lifnei Iver. Would you say that Lifnei Iver is just Mitzvah 613, separate Mitzvah, Lifnei Iver, nothing to do with the Avera that you're being asked to do? Or do you say, no, Lifnei Iver is an extension of every Avera that there is in the Torah? So when somebody comes to me and says, this is a Machlokes de Baal Amor and the Ramban, it's not a Chassidus Shepshetel, it's a real Machlokes de Rishonim. Do we say that it's Yaharik Val Yavar on Lifnei Iver of the Shalosh Averas Chamuras? If somebody comes to me and says, I'd like you to get someone else to kill someone else, So my job is, I'm not doing anything. All I'm doing is, I'm setting up the other guy to do the Aveira. So what do you say? I have to give up my life so that I don't, so that I'm not the one who gets somebody else to do an Aveira, which is of the Shalosh Averas Chamuras? How far do we go? Or, let's say, Lifnei Iver on Gilei Arayos. I get somebody else. Somebody tells me, I want you to convince this person to go and violate an Aveira, Gilei Arayos. Do I have to give up my life? I'm not going to violate the Aveira Gilei Arayos. At worst, what am I going to do? Lifnei Iver. But maybe Lifnei Iver is not simply a 614th mitzvah, but Lifnei Iver is an extension of every mitzvah itself, and therefore we should say you're obligated to give up your life for Lifnei Iver when it comes to those three Averas, as opposed to any other Aver. Same kind of idea. Or let's say, for example, the Gemara doesn't have it, the Achronim discuss it, let's say by Hilchos Shabbos. So Rashi writes in on Parsha Shlach, Rashi tells us, somebody is Mechal Shabbos is Dino Ka'akum. You're considered like a non-Jew. That's based on a Gemara Maseches Chulin, a Gemara Maseches Erevin, where the Gemara tells us that Chilul Shabbos is considered to be above and beyond any other Aveira. Somebody is Mechal Shabbos is considered like a non-Jew. Shchitas Anavela, the Gemara says, if you go and do a Shchita, we don't accept such a Shchita, the animal is treif. We take it very seriously. Serious consequences to somebody who's Mechal Shabbos. And this is the way the Shulchan Aruch Paskins as well. Now the question is, how many times do you have to be Mechal Shabbos? What conditions do you have to be Mechal Shabbos? Some Rishonim say, even if you're Mechal Shabbos one time before Hesiod, that's already enough to say, you're out. You forget about it. Okay, so that's generally not the accepted opinion. The Chazon Ish says we are Doche that opinion. Generally, we assume there are many conditions that are necessary to be Mechal Shabbos. But, what's the story as follows? Let's say somebody, we have an Aveira that the Gemara talks about, which is Lo Sa'achilu. Not only am I not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, but I'm also not allowed to have my children be Mechal Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Lahazer gedola malaktanim." Gemara Maseches Yevamos Kuf Yudalet. The Gemara says that "Atov in chavitecha" means you have an obligation to make sure not only that you keep Shabbos, but that your children keep Shabbos as well. So now, let's say I facilitate my child to do an aveira. Right? People do it all the time. Take a little 2-year-old. The lights are off in the room. So what do? Take a 2-year-old. Take them right next to the lights, and you hold them next to the lights. So maybe a 2-year-old is a little different. Well, let's say I take my 10-year-old. Right? And I facilitate him to go do an Aveira. So he's not a Bar Chiyuva, he's not going to be held accountable for what he did. But let's say I take him, I walk him to the lights, I take his finger, I say, please turn on the lights, and I get him to do the Aveira. So I violated the Isser of Lo Sa'achilum, which means you're not allowed to facilitate somebody else to do an Aveira either. Not just am I responsible for myself, but I'm not allowed to have my children do an Aveira either, says the Gemara. Let's say I'm a Kohen. I'm not allowed to be Metame to a Mace, I'm not allowed to go to a cemetery. And I also have an obligation to make sure my children don't go into a cemetery. So what happens if I walk my kid into a cemetery? What aveira have I violated? What am I going to be punished for? So you say, what's the difference? That's God's problem to figure out what he's going to punish me for. Either I violated the aveira of Tumas Kahanim or the aveira of Lo Sa'achilum. What's the difference? It makes a difference. Why? By Hilchos Shabbos it makes a difference. Because what happens if I bring my 10-year-old kid who knows good and well what he's doing, I bring him over to the lights on Shabbos and say, please turn the lights on because I'd like you to do it. So I facilitated him to do an Aveira. What have I violated? Am I now called a Mumer L'Chal Shabbos? Am I now called someone who is Mechal Shabbos? And therefore I'm out? Dino Ka'akum, my Shechitas Nevela, all the consequences of a Mechal Shabbos apply to me because I facilitated my child to do an Aveira? Is that a Nisir Prati? And if I facilitate my child to be Metame to a Mace, what have I violated? What am I going to be punished for? If I facilitate my child to go and turn the lights on Shabbos, have I violated the laws of Shabbos? And that makes me, myself, a mumer l'chal Shabbos? And now all those consequences apply to me as the adult? Or do you say no? All I've done is that 615th mitzvah, which is Lo Sa'achilum. Lo Sa'achilum, which is totally separate, like Lashon Hara. It's an Isser Kleli. It means any of the Averis in the Torah that God told us not to violate, not only are we not allowed to violate them, but I got to make sure that my kids don't violate them either. And if they violate it, it has nothing to do with the Aveira. It has to do with a totally separate Aveira. So we have a number of places, there are other places as well, we have a number of issues where in Halacha we discuss this very important topic, and that is, when the Torah says not to do something, does it always mean if you violate that, you have violated what seems on face value that was the violation? Or do we assume, no, that's something else? By Chatzis Shir, it comes up. comes up once again by Losa Achilum, like we just said, that I'm not allowed to have my children violate Averis the same way I'm not allowed to violate an Avera. And it comes up yet a third time by Lifnei Iver. What if I am asked to get somebody else to violate an Avera? Does that mean it's as if that Avera was violated, whatever the person did, is as if I violated that Avera, or did I only violate Lifnei Iver, which stands alone? Which is a very important issue to think about as we'll go through the Gemara and we'll learn what happens on Yom Kippur and how do we evaluate, like we said before, how do we evaluate what a chola should eat on Yom Kippur and what a chola should eat on whatever it is that the doctor tells them to eat something. What about when you have a chatzi shir? What should I consider that? Is that considered like I violated the Avera of Chelev or Dam or Nevela or Kachim or Truma or Tevel or anything like that? Or do you say, no, chatzi shir stands alone. It's in a parsha by itself. 613th mitzvah stands alone. And therefore, once we're only dealing with a chatzi shir, if that's the prescription that the doctor gave me, I don't have to worry about which Avera I'm violating. Whatever I violate is okay. So Amir Tzashem will pick up in another...